Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. I appreciate business, as always. As a friend of mine says to his customers, thank you for the food. And don't forget, folks, you can check out my website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can also subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week on Sunday. And if you just can't wait till Sunday, you got to have me like every day. We have a blog that comes every day. You can subscribe to that from our website at smallbusinessadvocate.com or go to jimsblog.biz. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to be back in Woodlands, which is hard by to Houston, to help the good folks at Administrav celebrate this great tournament, the Administrav Small Business Classic. I mean, if they're having a golf tournament named for you and me, I got to be there, right? And this is the second year they've done this. This is my second year to be here. And God willing, and if I keep my nose clean, I think maybe they'll keep inviting me back. And the guy who's largely responsible for me being here, sitting across the table from me, his name is Jay Minks. He's Executive Vice President for Sales and Marketing at Administrav. He's been with us before, and here he is back again. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, and thank you for the hospitality, and thank you for having me back.
This is a fun week. You know, it's about celebrating small business and the contribution they make to America, and it's fun, and we're happy to do that because we depend upon small business for our business.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you get small business owners and golfers together. It's like Christmas every day, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They just forget about everything and just have a good time.
Well,
forget about all their worries and all those woe.
You don't see anybody unhappy. I mean, somebody makes a double bogey, they laugh about it. It's fun.
But, Jim, you have to remember, these are Administrav clients. They're happy all the time because of Administrav.
Exactly.
Okay?
I got you.
What we do for them.
I got you. I'm sorry. I'm a little slow on the uptake there. Hey, Jay, talk to us about what it's like to run a big-time sales organization. That's what you do.
Well, it's a challenge. It's one of those things that I've told people many times. It's the greatest challenge I've ever had, but it's also the greatest blessings involved with that challenge. Usually they go hand in hand. But it's always morphing. You know, it's kind of like herding cats, the sales organization. It's salespeople by nature don't want to have any structure.
They don't like herding. They don't like being herded, do they?
No, they don't like structure at all, frankly. And the ironic thing is that your people, your top performers, are those that are spontaneous and out of the box. And it's so you go looking for those people. You know, I got to tell our service organization, they get frustrated sometimes with our salespeople, and I say, look, don't get upset about that. We actually go looking for those kinds of people. That's what they're doing naturally,
right.
You know. But so you have that very inherent difficulty in that they're not prone for structure. And so you've got to start kind of putting the boundaries around it and trying to hurt them, as I said, in a way that's positive and not in a way that's negative.
Well, how do you find the right people in sales? You know, one of the things that we've done quite a bit on the show over the years is work with people who are who focus on personality traits.
Yes.
A couple of the members of our brain trust, Pierce and Jane Howard, have written a book on the personality at work. And they say that you know, if you know, understand how personality works, that you won't hire a person who should be an accountant and put him in a sales job.
Right.
How do you guys do that?
We rely very heavily on that. We have a screening process. We use the Brooks. Has developed a personality profile specifically for salespeople. What they've done, they've done several hundred thousand of these to determine who, you know, over the years, determine who would be the best, highest propensity for being successful.
Mm-hmm.
What we actually did for us is that we actually went through and developed the profile based on the things that we knew existed in our business.
Sort of customized for you.
Exactly. Because we have to have people who are self-determined, very high, high level there, people who have a high need for money. I need for recognition.
It's important for salespeople to be motivated by compensation.
Yep, it is amazing. I mean, your top producers, we've gone through and done this profile, then we go back and look at our top producers to see how we did.
Mm-hmm.
And they line up incredible. Sense of urgency. If they have no sense of urgency, they're not going to sell anything.
Right.
They're just going to go visit people.
The best salespeople typically aren't that laid back, are they?
They really aren't.
How often have you run into people that interviewed with you, and they actually had already been somewhat successful in sales, and they took your program and your screening process, and they didn't pass. How often does that happen?
Well, it's not about pass or fail, because
right.
all the profile does for us is give us a track to run on during the interview process.
Mm-hmm.
It's really only about one third of the evaluation. So it gives you no one can pass or fail it.
Right.
It's just a guideline for us as we go through the interview process.
Well, the reason I say that is because there are some people that you would hire based on their resume, based
Absolutely.
On how they interviewed.
That's
if
true.
You hadn't given them the test or the program, you would have hired them, but once you did that, didn't hire them. And so, but because you had a little sophistication, you wind up getting better people. And when we come back, I want you to help us with that, because
right.
our audience needs to know more about how to do that.
Sure.
And that's a very important part of not just hiring salespeople, anybody for your organization.
Correct.
Quick break, 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend Jay Meeks. He's with Administ.
Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love?
Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from the Adventist Small Business Classic in Woodlands, Texas, hard body Houston. And one of my favorite reasons for coming down here, folks, is because when I broadcast, there's this lovely lady who comes and sits around in the room where I'm broadcasting. Suzanne Haugen just makes sure everything comes together here, Jamie.
She's auditing you.
I'm telling you. And she just classes up the place.
Well, yeah, no doubt about that.
You know, and so anyway, Suzanne, thank you for all the work that you do. She's nodding her head over here, folks. Her face is a little bit red.
She's writing
but
down.
I gotta give Suzanne the credit. You know, you got to take care of these folks.
She's fantastic.
Jay Meeks is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's Executive Vice President for Sales and Marketing for Administaff. And Jay, you were talking, before you get back to that, I just want to remind my audience. Folks, you know what I've said before. The things that you and I are not good at, the two main things are marketing and human resources. Human resources being the hiring process, making sure that we get the right people. We're just not good at that because most of us would rather be boiled in oil than to go through the hiring process. We got other things to do. We're not good at it. We don't know how to do it as well. And so we want to get it over with. And so, hey, Jay, do you know somebody I can hire? I need somebody to come work for me. Don't you have a brother-in-law or something like that?
That's
what
exactly
is your cousin's aunt?
That's
brother?
Exactly.
You know, doesn't
that's
don't
right.
you, and can he go to work tomorrow? That's how it goes.
Yeah.
And we got to stop that, folks. I want you to slow down, take a little more time, and listen to Jay Meeks. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, it's a painful process to go to work for us. We put people through about five interviews. I mean, I get them in our training class, and I get them in there, and I say, one of the things I tell them, I say, I'm going to tell you something. You folks will be successful here. I'll tell you how I know, because you got in this room.
It's hard
to make it into that room,
right.
You know. Because we don't want to make a mistake. It's too expensive. It costs us $50,000 to $100,000 to hire the wrong person
right.
as a company. And the bigger thing, I think, is that you've done a disservice to the person you brought into this if they're not the right person. Because
right.
they have a life, too, and their family and those kinds of things, and they want to be successful. So it's important for both
sides. Slow down, folks, and work on the fundamentals of hiring. If you don't know how to do that, find somebody who does. You know anybody who does?
Call it Administaff.
I know you guys help folks with that.
1-800-465-3800.
Say it again.
1-800-465-3800.
Okay. Jay, you got some thoughts on how to make sure that you run a good organization.
I think that, you and I talked about this the other day when we were visiting briefly. It really, as you grow the organization, first of all, I want everybody to know that when we started off with just a handful of sales reps, we had a profile.
Ten salespeople. You were profiling them.
That's right.
You?
We were profiling early on. We adopted these principles and institutionalized them into our company at a very young age. I've been with the company now for 15 years, and so we kind of have had that into our system. But as you grow the organization, as we've grown our organization now to almost 300 salespeople in 38 offices, 21 markets around the country, you know, I've identified the things that you have to have in order to really keep people motivated. And I'll add something else to this. But you've got to have the leadership in place. Back when I was a district manager and I had, you know, 8, 10, 12 reps, you could pretty much had your hands on the dials.
Right.
Not anymore. So you've got to have people in place that are really executing, have the same passion, frankly, that you have. And that's the challenge. That's a challenge for
you've got to be able to delegate, but you've got to have people you can delegate to.
Absolutely.
You?
The other thing is you've got to have training in place. And we've continued to upgrade our training, make it where we can take someone who used to be on an 18-month cycle to what I call success, and we're squeezing that down to 12 months, 9 months, doing what we can to inculcate as much as possible their ability so that they can make it shorter, where they can be successful in a shorter period of time. That pays great dividends for us, and, of course, it gives you a better sales
person. And it wasn't, when it was longer, it wasn't because the people couldn't do it quicker. You just hadn't fine-tuned your process.
Exactly right. So we were allowing osmosis to do a lot of the work for us. The other thing is you've got to have clear, defined goals for your people. They've got to know what track to run on. Here's how to do it. And then beyond that, there's got to be a compensation program that lines up with those goals. So they know when they execute on those goals, they're going to be rewarded for it. And the last thing is integrity. There's many more of them, but one thing I'll add. I've been absolutely adamant. I'm not going to allow it happening. It's not going to happen in my watch. We're not going to balance our books on the backs of our salespeople. And by that I mean we don't jack with their commission. We don't try and mess them around because they are the lifeblood of a growth organization.
Nothing happens if somebody makes a sale.
And I'm not going to allow it. Here's my commitment to our salespeople. It's only going to get better.
If they perform,
only going to get better.
They will get paid.
It's going to get better. You hang around, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
And it has. Our marketing has developed to the point now that it's much easier to make a sale. I even have one of our own veterans that have been around for 14 years, 13 years, and he's one of those guys that took a while to develop, like everybody did back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me a few years ago, and he said, you know, I don't want this to get out, but it's actually easier than it used to be. So he didn't want to intimate that we're going to cut his pay or something, you know, but that's not going to happen. So you have all those things lined up, and you commit to each one of them. And it's not ad hoc. It's got to be institutionalized.
Leadership, training.
Clear goals,
and compensation.
That lines up with the goals.
All right. How do you talk? Let's talk about the goals.
Mm-hmm.
How do you establish those goals?
Well, it's a bottom-up way that we establish it. But we establish the goal. We have a goal, the annual goal for each office. And that migrates down to each person, depending on their tenure,
mm-hmm.
how much they should produce. We have a monthly goal for each person, depending on their tenure with the organization. So the longer they're here, the more they're expected to sell. So they go in the penalty box.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not. We don't go 3 months and say, "I wonder how Bob's doing over there." You know,
mm-hmm.
It's what did you do this month? Don't wait 2 months and to go put some grab them on the shoulder and say, "Hey, you need to go to work."
Right.
So we very actively are looking at what they do each month to make sure they're on track for that annual goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great incentive trip. We do an incentive trip that it's all expenses paid for our sales rep and their spouse.
How often do your salespeople meet with their managers?
Every week.
Every week?
Yes.
Every week?
Every
week. All right. That's, folks, that's very important. And that's another thing that you and I don't do very well, small business owners. We need to work on this. Stand by. Quick break. 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jay Meeks, he's with Administat. Stay with us.
Move to New York. New York's fine, but it ain't.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Administat, Small Business Classic. And folks, when I go off the air today, I gotta go do this thing. You know, the things I do for small business, I gotta go play golf in a little bit, Jay. And
yeah,
Jay Meeks is with us.
Jim. You're a trooper, Jim.
Well,
I'll give you that,
you know,
man.
I mean, that's what people say about me. The things I sacrifice for small business.
It's profound.
Yeah. Jay Meeks, ladies and gentlemen, Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Administat. Jay, I know you got one last thing you want to say.
Yeah,
I want to talk about the tournament.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to add, when you look at, in terms of activity of our salespeople, the way we set it up is that the district manager, which is usually has 8 sales reps, you know, our philosophy is he manages on a daily basis. He should know every day what these people are doing. The regional managers, who have about 6 to 7 offices, in other words, 6 to 7 district managers,
mm-hmm.
reporting to them, they're supposed to be managing weekly. In other
mm-hmm.
words, they're looking at all the activity that's occurred in the week and then asking the right questions. And then as a vice president of sales, then his role is to manage monthly, is to look at those numbers and look at that activity on a monthly basis. So if everyone plays their role mm-hmm. correctly, it all works, and we all have a, you know, happy ending.
Everybody has their own increment, don't they?
Exactly right.
The salespeople are working hourly, basically.
Right.
They're checking with their customers every hour.
Yes.
Their managers are checking on them every day.
Yes.
And then you got the weekly districts, and then
yep.
and then the monthly at your level.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense. And folks, that's a great model for small businesses. Jay, and I thank you for laying that out. You did
Good.
A great job
thank
on
you.
That. Let's talk about the tournament.
Okay.
What's it like putting together a PGA tournament? This is big time.
Well, the advantage we have is we have a great group that we work with called ProLinks, and ProLinks actually runs the tournament. By that I mean they do the day-to-day operation of the golf tournament.
Brian Noggle and Carlos
Kavner run about 6 PGA events. Their company does, and they're just really good at it. They've been involved in the PGA a long time. Know everybody. Know the right places to go. So we basically kind of the day-to-day operation is theirs. What we get into on our side is paying for it. And then we are involved also in sponsorship sales. You know, Randy McCullum in our Alliance group.
Randy's going to be on later this week.
All right, Randy will tell you more about that, but on the sponsorship side. But basically, it's about putting together an event that champions small business. That was our goal, because we felt like there was not enough going on for small business recognition of what their contributions are to our economy. And secondarily, we wanted to put an event together that would reward our clients and our employees. You know, a thing to have fun. It's a unique experience. And what's fantastic about the Champions event is that you're much closer to the players. They're much more amenable to conversations.
Much more accessible.
They're accessible.
Yep.
I mean, it's just a really neat environment
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the regular tour. The regular tour is much more serious.
Right.
You got those guys are playing for huge dollars.
These guys are just so happy to be here, aren't they?
They're having fun. I mean,
a lot
of them already made their income, made their money, and it's just a great outlet for them. And plus, that they still can make some serious dollars, as you know, on this
right.
tour.
So. Well, and also the charity. That's something.
Absolutely. Then you get to where you give back to the community, you mm-hmm. know, and be able to. So it's a neat little circle that we've developed, and it works so well for the PGA event that we have here.
But if somebody wanted to put on something like this, they don't have to. They have to realize they don't have to do it all themselves. They just got to find the right people on the team. Part of which is Brian Noggle's group.
Right.
So there are people out there, Brian and other groups like him, who are putting on these things, aren't they?
Right. Well, you know, I think what has made our tournament so successful so quickly is the fact that we had a group internally under Randy's leadership that
right.
could really kind of fill the gap for us and step in
right.
and make it effective. Because this tournament, we'll give money to charity this year.
Yeah.
And for a second-year tournament, that's pretty impressive.
Pretty darn good. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
okay, I got to ask this question. The king.
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Palmer.
The most loved golfer
right.
since Bobby Jones died, Arnold Palmer, is you guys are working with him. What's it like to work with him?
Well, he's just an absolute gentleman. That's the only way I can describe it.
Folks, when you see him on television acting like a real human being, that's how he is.
That's exactly how he is. He loves the fans. He feels like that he owes it to the fan to be with them and to spend time with them.
At 76, that's the reason he's still out here.
Absolutely.
He loves the people, doesn't he?
Yeah, because, you know, his golf game, we've talked about this. You know, he's very disappointed in his golf game. And I'll tell you a quick story if we got just a second longer.
30 seconds.
Last year, Dan Pastorini was here, the former
mm-hmm.
Oilers quarterback. Was he on the show? All right. So Dan hadn't seen Arnold since back we got recruited
mm-hmm.
years and years ago, 1971, or even maybe back in college. So we went in the locker room and said hello to Mr. Palmer and put his hands on his shoulders and said, well, you know, how's your golf game, or how do you feel? And he says, Dan, my golf game is just not where I want it to be. And Dan put his hands on his shoulders and said, Arnold, people just want it to be.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
They don't
exactly
care about your golf game.
Hey, Dave, thanks for everything.
My pleasure, Jim. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for the hospitality and for doing a good job today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jay Meeks, ladies and gentlemen, he's with the Admin Staff, and that's AdminStaff.com, by the way. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, but I will be back tomorrow from the Admin Staff Small Business Classic in Woodlands, Texas. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.